All of the views and opinions expressed here are those of the individual speaking and may not be representative of Coding American. At times, language may be considered vulgar. Listener discretion is suggested.
It's another beautiful Wheel Wednesday, and I'm here with my esteemed colleague and friend and boss.
Oh, jeez.
He doesn't like that. You know, I noticed that. Scott.
What's up?
And I'm Luis. Welcome to the Behind the Wheel podcast. Just a quick little introduction. Just wanted to basically let you know about a video that we did last week that you should be watching on our YouTube channel with Hugh Stewart, where we did a walk around of the E46 M3.
Yeah, we did a car walk around with Hugh. Hugh's an OG, man.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
He's straight up like one of those guys that's been around racing and performance tuning for a long time. They do a lot of cool in stuff, you know, stuff in-house
at yes.
High Speed Motorsports. And Hugh is kind of the co-owner, I believe I'm saying this right, co-owner of the High Speed Motorsport racing team,
yep.
Which is, you know, one of our good friends, Christina Lamb. She runs on that team as well. So we got to check out Hugh's car. Listen, if you're a Euro guy, a road race guy, go check out the video. It's cool. It gives us a little spin around. And I think we have a shop tour coming up on High Speed.
That's right.
In just a few weeks.
Yep. And this week we're going to be doing a top five where we give you the cars with a lot of fitment options.
Man, who's that beautiful person that we had star in the top five this week? Who is that person, that really good-looking guy?
I think it's you.
Oh!
Nice.
That's crazy. Nice. That's right. It's me. I just remember watching it. Anyhow, listen, let's dive into it. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. We have a lot of time that we need to get back to what we're doing.
Ooh.
Right? Mm. But we wanted to do this one a little bit differently. So we do the lives. You know, we go live right before the podcast every Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern. And we answer all your questions. We have gone live consecutively for over 2 years.
We have.
And we do these lives, 2 p.m. Eastern, on Instagram and Facebook. And we literally answer every single question that we can get to.
Literally everyone.
Yeah. So we give you a place and time where you can come, ask questions. Maybe we have so many customer service emails coming in that week. You sent in a question. You're like, not sure. Like, we haven't responded back to you. Listen, we try to respond back to everybody and everything, but there's so many comments and so many questions, so many emails and so many DMs. We can only get that. We miss some. It happens.
It happens.
So we give you a place that you can find us every week at the same time so that you can come on and literally ask me your questions and I answer them.
And it's funny because, you know, but, you know, just to get to that.
Yeah.
Like, you literally, we put it out there. Ask us all the questions you need, and literally, you'll still ask us the same questions in our comments.
Yeah,
I guess, you know, it's weird. I don't know.
It's all good. It's all good. We appreciate it. We appreciate you just hanging out with us, so it's good. But so let's circle around to while I was telling you about the lives. One of the questions we've been getting, obviously, a lot lately, which makes a lot of sense because it's the right time of the year, is where are the new wheels? Where are they? Peekaboo. So here's the thing. We want to tell you all those answers. We want to give you kind of maybe, you know, a little behind the scenes information. And while we're doing it, we're going to kind of do a brief synopsis about what it takes to bring a wheel to market. And we're going to cover all that. We'll talk about all that. So if you're interested in kind of how things come to life, you'll hear about them now. And you're welcome to ask us questions down below. You're also welcome to come to the next Wednesday's live and you can ask them there. But basically, we're going to really, before we even get into the part of developing a wheel, we're going to talk about why there's been such a delay last year and now this year.
And I think it's with products. A lot of it is pretty much self-explanatory. I'm sure that
for last year, I think it was.
Yeah, a lot of you kind of know what's going on with the world, a lot of things going on, a lot of moving pieces.
Yep.
So we're just trying to deliver a product the best way we can with the available time that we have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it does make sense. And I think that there's also another piece of the puzzle that that maybe you kind of briefly touched on, but which is, you know, we have the new product is great and we love dropping it.
Oh yeah.
But and we have probably more wheel designs ready to go that we're not dropping, and there's a reason for it, and it has to do with the fact that our primary concern is on people that have already trusted us to do business with
us. Yes, sir.
That have already put their orders in for product, that have already committed to wanting something,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And in a launch year, whenever you do product, there's always going to be certain little delays, little things that need to get changed or modified or whatever it may be. It's just the nature of bringing a product to market. But one thing that we're trying not to do, and we did it, we purposely didn't release product last year. We pushed our product to this year because when the pandemic really hit, we had this issue like every other manufacturer did. And I'm not talking about every other wheel manufacturer. I'm talking about every manufacturer, mm-hmm. like of mm-hmm. everything, mm-hmm. which was there were supply chain issues and there was a lot of freight delivery issues. You know, you had some, you know, containers or freight or shipping that would just get stuck for months and months and months at a time. And that exists today to an extent as well still, but it's better. So we were so focused on making sure that the product that we brought into, you know, into you and making sure the product we were producing was the stuff that was on back order, was the stuff that people will have already committed to. Because to me, if I laid my money down,
yep.
and I wanted my set of wheels and I ordered them and I was willing to support this company by riding with you and not canceling my order, holding my back order,
mm-hmm.
I would want them to do the right thing and step up and make sure that I have my wheels.
100%.
And so we made that conscious decision for the first time ever. I'm telling you, I've been here for 16 years and I have never, ever, ever had a year where we didn't release product.
Yep, yep.
So it wasn't an easy decision, but we made it with the best interest in mind. And I understand that, you know, in, you know, some people will say they don't really understand that, but I promise you, that's what we did. And for the most part, I still believe it was the right call.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's one of those things that we do here is we try to make sure that we deliver, like, for example, if we were to deliver a product, a new product, it would have been a little bit half-assed. Excuse my language.
Well, I don't think the product...
Not yeah. Let me finish.
Yeah.
Meaning in the sense like there was a lot of times where the office was empty because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
There wasn't people here. There was people that we work with that do renders and stuff that mm-hmm. weren't available.
Yep.
There was things, moving pieces that normally we always had to access to because of the pandemic. It slowed a lot of that down. Obviously, if we really wanted to, we would go in and create something as we always do. But we wanted to kind of, like Scott said, make sure that those people that were ordering our products got that instead and made that a priority before we deliver something. And the cool thing is, now that we're getting to the point where we're going to release something because we have the wheels and we're going to be presenting them to you guys very soon, now we put more effort into it. And these wheels that are coming out are literally, I'm telling you, he's not going to say that because he's part of the whole process of creating them and stuff like that. But me being one of the people that gets to see them firsthand, I'm like, yo, these are good quality. They're coming out strong and I'm ready for them.
So I think that, you know, another piece of this is too, is that, you know, we're just trying to make sure that people are still getting their products. So,
yeah.
So yes, this year we have, obviously there's going to be a delay. So let's get into why that is. So, again, we were having such strong demand for the product. I mean, thankfully to all the support we've had from you guys out there, we have just been getting, such a loyal following. And yeah. Whenever race season creeps up on you, you know, we have a lot of people that are refreshing their whole inventory, mm-hmm. their whole arsenal of wheels. And when they do that, you know, you're not talking about just the one set at a time. You know, we're filling, you know, multiple sets to these people. So, you know, we have, you know, the same obligation that we said but earlier to make sure that product comes to life, and we've done that. So we're filling the demand that needs to be there, and this year again, with a lot of the world facing random supply issues still, mm-hmm. and freight being so delayed as it is. Now, again, is it delayed as much as it was last year? Yes, but the difference is now is that we've gotten accustomed to the lead time being longer, so we're planning better. So so we're getting a lot more product in the time because we've put so much more on order than we usually would. And we're building. We have more in production than we've ever had, you know, previously. So that's a great thing. But on your end, before we went and dropped another wheel, we wanted to make sure that we were getting the stuff out that we already have in existence, that people already stepped up and bought, people want. And the reason that becomes such a like an important reason is because it literally directly relates to the reason why the product's delayed 100%. This year. Not because we're not finished with it.
Yep.
Not because we can't pump it out. It's because of the fact that if we were to jump on getting these wheels out right away, there would have been other wheels that probably would have had to just chill for a few minutes while we were trying to get everything queued up for production of a new wheel.
Exactly. Yeah.
So now we've gotten through you know, most of the busy stuff that had to get cranked out. Remember, we're operating a little ahead. So, you know, we've produced everything that you're buying right now already. Yep. It's here. It's here. It's in transit. It's in stock at your local retailers. You know, people like Fitment Industries, Discount Tire Direct. You know, some of the big boys that are out there that have stepped up and taken product, Goodwin Racing. I mean, these people have taken a large amount of product to have it there for you, and we've stocked these places well, so you should be able to get your product. We also have our building stocked well and different logistics points, so we're good. And now we're in that situation where we're queuing, you know, the new wheels are in production.
Yes, they are.
So why didn't we just show them to you already? Because we don't like baiting people. Because we know that the lead time puts them, we are currently talking to you end of March of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I almost forgot the year. And then and then we imagine that we'll be seeing these wheels sometime in mid-June.
Yeah.
Maybe early June. But, you know, again, we should be done with production, you know, shortly. But the lead time to get containers and to kind of move freight in different parts of the world, that's where the slowdown is going to exist.
Yep.
So that's the reason why there's been a delay. Now,
but they're coming. Don't worry. They're coming soon.
They are.
Now that we got that part out, this is what I wanted to ask him. What we were going to talk about in this podcast is how do we develop these type of wheels? What goes into the thought of creating? And I wanted to start with something that you started with like a hypergram.
Right.
Like, how did we get there? How did we get to the point where we're developing it just from scratch? Let's just say.
Yep.
You know, and we're going to kind of go through these steps. Obviously, we're not going to be able to do it all because, I mean, it's a lot of work that goes into making these wheels, you know, so we're not going to be able to explain it over a video, you know, but we're going to do our best to kind of give you an inside look of what we do here at Koenig and how we develop these type of wheels.
Yeah. So I think the first thing to really talk about is the time, because I think that's probably the best way to set up the amount of time we're talking about as far as, you know, each subject, right?
Yeah.
So how long does it take to develop a wheel from the time you think it up to the time that you go to production? So what we're doing is we're not saying from the time it comes into stock, and we'll kind of touch on that a little bit in a minute, but we're talking about the time it takes from ideation to the time it takes to production.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing that happens is there's really no one set way about how a wheel comes to fruition as far as the design of it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a void. Sometimes like, you know, like we have recently in the past year or so discontinued the Ultraform. It was a 7-spoke. I really love the wheel. It was a great flow form wheel. I have it on my Z to this day and it looks so good on there. Like I just choose not to take it off. And, you know, we've decided to move on. So we have a void now for in our flow form line for a seven spoke. So
yep.
Does that mean there'll be a seven spoke? Like I don't know, but that could be one reason that a seven spoke might be developed.
Well, and I think also, like, when you're developing something, you also have to, and me, I'm saying this in a sense, like, we're not copying, but you have to look at the trends. In a sense, like, there's a lot of trends that you guys like that you're not really realizing that all of you kind of in all together kind of realize, like, okay, I like this type of style, or I like this finish, or I like this look. You know, and it always changes, I notice, as I've worked here.
I struggle with the term trends. You know, I remember when I first started working here, you know, 16 years ago, one of my duties as a marketing person was, when we would go to all these different events and shows, was, and it's funny because, and I'll tell you the funny story about this in a second, but while the show was going on, after we got everything set up and going, like, one of my jobs was to go walk through the parking lot of the show.
Yeah.
With a notebook. And to look what size and color and different things people actually had on the cars that they drove to the show in.
Yeah.
And not the show cars. Because the show cars are usually the elite guys. They're the few and the far between. They're the guys that will go the dramatic distance.
Exactly.
To make wheels fit. So so I remember, like, Rick at the time, who was the owner of Koenig then, he used to send me out to the parking lot with a notebook. And I used to walk the parking lot for an hour or so. And what was really funny was, back in the day, we had this really tight, and we still do, tight relationship with Nitto. And, one of the persons, that I met really well doing the same thing was, so everybody, let me paint the picture. We're at an event.
Uh-huh.
Everybody is in the show.
Okay.
Right. There's the people in the, that have their own cars in the show. They're there. The people that paid to walk in, they're there. The parking lot doesn't really have any people in it. Maybe a few people walking through to go into the show that are late stragglers, but it's just the cars.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I look to my right, maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 rows over, and I see this really tall Asian dude. Like, you look over the roof line of the cars, and, you know, you'd see his shoulders and his and his head. And it would be doing the same thing kind of I was doing, which was like... looking down. So, like, I ended up walking up to this person, right? And I'm like, and I realized he's got a Nitto shirt on.
Mm.
And it was John Wu, who's now, I think, the marketing director for Maxxis Tire. But
He came in here.
So a lot of these people, and a lot of these companies, they're doing the same thing. They're walking through looking at the tire sizes that people are actually have on their car.
Yeah.
And again, that to me was a hardcore, like, identify the trends.
Yeah.
I don't really see that anymore. And I'll be honest with you, I think that the nature of, whether it be social media or the fact that, there's so many wheel options out there and so many different wheel companies out there, I think you find a lot of people that are doing their own thing, or when they get a set of wheels, those aren't the people that necessarily you're looking at. It's just a different type of thing.
So
I think trends are one thing. I think the one thing that we've been really good about in the past, 6 years or so, 6-7 years ago, is listening to the feedback that we get from you. The reason we do lives, the reason we do sponsorships, the reason we do all these different things is to get feedback.
Yeah. 100%.
We love hearing what you have to say. Mm-hmm. And on top of it, we love hearing the things you say you don't like just as much as the things we say you like.
Yeah.
Because we work those thoughts in. We listen to you. And I'm not saying every idea is able to come to fruition, but in majority situations, we're able to really improve product, and we have consistently for a long time. So, when we start talking about these trends and different things, and ideation and all these different things, you know, like I said, we could start from the point of we have a void in the wheel line. Mm-hmm. We could start with something like, we want to build a wheel type like this. Or we can start with a bunch of feedback, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe we heard, this one's got too much spokes, or I wish you guys really made a mesh wheel, or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think for the last, especially for the last 10 years or so, we really have stayed in our lane more about not really looking around at what others are doing, but just trying to look at what we have and then incorporate the feedback we have from sponsored drivers or different customers and stuff like that, and then outcome these designs. Now, I do want to preface one thing because you started to touch on it just a brief moment ago.
Yeah.
So it's inevitable that anytime you ever put out a new wheel design or you get done with things, you're going to have somebody that's going to look at it and somehow allude to it being like another wheel that's already on the market, another brand.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I want to put a number on it, but I don't know. But I've developed a fair number of wheels now.
Uh-huh.
I took over doing all the wheel design from 2015. So, you know, I think that it's real easy when you start building a wheel to not look around, to not do anything.
Yeah.
We never, never set out to build a wheel by looking at another company's wheel.
No,
never.
100%.
And I'll tell you why.
100%.
It's the same reason that, like, when you... if you want to brainstorm about, you know, a design or not a wheel design, but like you want to brainstorm about a wrap on your car.
Yeah.
If you hit the internet.
Yep.
And you find something that you love.
Yep.
No matter how hard you try, you will end up duplicating it.
Yep.
And so we purposely, like when we start wheel designs, we do not look around. We start with bits and bobs of things that we have here in house. So I'll get that in a second. But the one thing I want to touch on is, I have done a fair number of wheels now,
mm-hmm.
and there have been a number of times that I work on a wheel for a month or two,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking at renderings,
yep.
and we're like, man, I can't, that wheel's dope.
Yep.
Looks great.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, one of the sales guys will happen to walk behind us, and they're like, you know what? That looks just like this wheel.
Yeah.
Like, unintentionally... And we'll look at the wheel and we're like, oh man, like it's like, while I'm a wheel guy,
mm-hmm.
and I can see every wheel detail, and sometimes I just don't think that, like, you know, some people are quick to look at a 10 spoke wheel and another 10 spoke wheel and they're both in matte black and go, that's identical.
Yeah.
And I'll look at it, I'm like, no, it's that's not close. Like, the details matter, you know. Yeah. But there's sometimes that, you know, we'll get done with a wheel not even looking at any other wheels.
Yeah.
And we're like we'll have to go look. He'll be like, oh, that's like that wheel. And I'm like, what wheel? And like, we'll go look it up. I'm like, oh my God. And like, it's true. When people say you can't redesign the wheel.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes you do. Well, but like, not on purpose. And we've tabled wheels because we look at them and we're like, you know what? That's just too close. Sometimes we'll modify. Sometimes, like, we'll look at a wheel, we're like, oh, this part's really good. We're just going to change, like, this, because it's just, it feels like, no matter what we say to people, it feels like it might be too close.
Well, and I say this way, you know, because sometimes, you know, thinking outside the box sometimes gets you in a little trouble. Meaning in the sense, like, for example, remember that OE wheel that we were looking at, the one that looked like a waffle? The one that... We were looking at the OE wheel.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, it's just like, yeah, everybody thinks they want you to think outside the box.
Right.
You know what I mean? But when it comes to certain things, if you look at this OE wheel, none of you guys will like this OE wheel.
But listen, you know, I think if you go look at the video that Fitment Industries just dropped the other day, it's the second round, I think, of the truth behind Koenig wheels, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I think if you go look at that video, Alex makes a comment. You know, Alex from Fitment Industries makes a comment that's pretty funny. I think it's, you know, it's hard. It's like hard to listen to, but like it's kind of like, yeah, kind of. He talks about a period where we were really hot and then things got a little weird, mm-hmm. and then things got much better again. And so I think what he's referring to, and I know exactly what time period is, there was a time where, like, you know, flow forming wasn't really a popular thing. And then there was a super JDM kind of wheel. And then there was like this mixed time, you know, like that awkward stage when you're growing up where, like, you're trying to transition from one end to another. Where we had some wheels, and there was a couple of them that even myself and we were like, oh, I don't know. But then there's this other piece, which is sometimes you don't know until you take a shot.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I think of some of these wheels. We had some directional wheels back in the day.
Yeah.
That were, I mean, for my taste, I don't love directional wheels, period. But bottom line is, now if you look around, now they finally have warmed up to it. But yeah. It's been going on for 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? Like in the beginning, you saw some of those directional wheels and you went, I don't know. And now they really have been way more accepted. So I think there's stuff like that.
You gotta look at things like this. Like back then, some of you guys listened to Limp Bizkit.
Well, it was all for the nookie, right? Cookie?
Just remember that. By the way, back in the days, you guys used to listen to Limp Bizkit.
Like, can we just say for a minute? Have anybody seen Fred Durst lately?
No, I haven't.
He's got gray hair.
Damn.
He was wearing this. It was like Macklemore met Metallica. It's really different.
Oh my god. But anyways, yeah. So I just wanted to bring it to that because that's how things go in all avenues. At the end of the day.
100%.
Years, Alex, times change, they come back, they go, they return, you know, like
Alex's best comment in that whole thing was like, listen, don't tell me that you haven't had some awkward stages too. Like, go look at your high school yearbook photo.
Yeah.
Right.
Log tees and freaking spinners. Get out of here, bro. Yeah.
So anyhow, with that said, right, there's Fred Durst.
That's him?
Yeah.
What the heck?
Wild, right?
That does not look like him. Yeah, Well, first off, he looks thinner, and he looks like a different person.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to elaborate on.
What happened
here,
What happened to his Yankee hat? Come
but
on,
here's
bro.
The thing: he still gets on stage
and rocks it.
Oh yeah, which is the part that like throws me off because you feel like
I can't see that man singing. It's all for the nookie.
Like you see that here? Look at that picture of the red hat right
there.
Oh my
god!
Look at that picture of the red hat. I don't know if Max can hear me, but if Max can hear me, sorry, there, Max, that's what you
him.
Expect.
That's what, I, yeah.
But that's what you expect Fred Durst to look like.
No, but this is had to be like a one-time thing.
You say that, but every concert I have seen now, people cover or put pictures up from. He looks like not that. He looks like the dude with he looks. That's what I'm saying. So like, anyhow, all right,
okay.
So here's the thing. So when we start to do the design process of wheels, sometimes it goes very quickly. I've had wheels that within about, you know, a month and a half or 2 months of going back and forth. So when I say I develop most of the wheels, let me talk what that really means. I don't sit there and draw wheels.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what I do. So what it starts with is, the first thing we start with is kind of a broad idea. So I kind of will look through, like I said, feedback, the line and voids, maybe something that I thought would be really dope. I had an idea. And
conversations
what I do is,
that we've had also throughout the team. Scott is very good about asking the team, you know, what they think. Or,
well, we also have an environment where a lot of like sales, but like people, when they have an idea, they'll just walk in.
100%.
Be like, yo, like, you know, it'd be super dope if we did this, or we had something like this, or we do something like this.
Yep.
So basically what happens is we write those things down, we keep them in notes, and then we'll start working on a wheel. The first thing we start with is I break the wheel up into pieces. In other words, when I start to work on things, the first thing I start with is a list of specifications.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say what the load rating is going to be. I want to say what the PCD range is because that's really important. I want to say, what kind of construction it's going to be. Is it going to be flow formed? Is it going to be forged? Is it going to be cast? I want to say, is it going to have a lip? What does the lip look like?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to have any wild features? Is the wheel going to be machined or full painted? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why we start there is because those are the things that really will dictate a change in design. And so what I mean by that is, for example, you start developing a design on a wheel, you can make anything look dope. As soon as you start putting proportions of things in, now the wheel changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't put a PCD range in, like in other words, if we were going to build one wheel, 5 by 114.3, we can make the spoke as big as possible right down to that PCD size.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we could, you know, clearly decide how big, we can maximize the center cap, we can lay it down, we could do a whole bunch of different things.
What a video.
But we can't do that. If we did that, and then we said, you know what? We also want to do 5/120. Oh, we want to go as small as 5/100. Now, all of a sudden, that PCD range has to be bigger to allow for all those patterns to be drilled. Now the spokes change size.
Yep.
So, all right. The same thing happens with load rating. Load rating is directly related to how much material and the shape of spokes that can be. So if we develop a given design, then the amount of material that is used in a wheel has to correspond to be able to give that test result the correct load rating.
Yeah.
Right. So what ends up happening is if we end up saying, oh, you know, just make it for like, you know, 1200 kg and then we get done and with a design, we're like, oh, we love it. You know what? Just make it. But we're going to really do it in 700 kg. Mm-hmm. By the time they go back and they, you know, put the material in to get the correct load rating, you may find that the spoke is now thicker than it was, bigger than it was. You may find that the lip had a change. You may find a whole bunch of different things. So what are we doing? We're starting with the specifications that we feel will be the most likely that we will use to produce for those vehicles. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to make it as accurate as we possibly can from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That tends to speed up the design process on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, we do that whole thing. I tend to break up the wheel. I try to find, like, I'll look through our wheels and I'll be like, you know what? It'd be cool if we had a PCD like this. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it's like, hey, I love this PCD that we used on the Ampliform. Let's use it.
Yep.
Other times it's like, hey, take the PCD from the Ampliform, add the lightning holes that we had on the Hypergram, and then I want you to do like a little taper like this, and then I draw a little picture, mm-hmm. and I was like, all right, here's the PCD. We scan that stuff in, take a picture of it, upload it, you know, in for our design team. Then I'll go out to the spoke. I'll say, yeah, you know, I want it to have, you know, 8 spokes, and I want this part to be concave, and I want it to start here, and then, you know, let's make the lip size, right? I'll go into the lip size. I'll say, I want the lip mm-hmm. to be like this, and mm-hmm. I want the wheel to land like this, and place a flange here. Let's have writing that will go here, here, and here. Let's mm-hmm. make it say this. Center cap size. Maybe we can do something like this. The cap will attach like this.
Mm-hmm.
We give as much detail to the design team as possible, and then they take however long it takes. Sometimes yep. it's a couple days. Sometimes it's a week. Sometimes it's 2 weeks. To draw this wheel, and then we get these renderings, and we look at the renderings,
mm-hmm.
and that's usually like very rarely. There's been a few wheels that we've been like, "Oh, that is awesome!"
Mm-hmm.
Just that's it,
mm-hmm.
you know, minor tweaks. But most of the time, it comes back, and we're like, you know, I don't. That's not exactly it. Let's change this. Let's do this. Add this thing. You know what? That PCD didn't work. Let's try this PCD and add this little detail. Sometimes we're like, oh, you know, this part has to get some sort of a recess or a radius. Do this, do that. And we put all a bunch of notes. Again, we scan it back over. Now, this process sometimes can last a really long time.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, you ever look at something and you feel like, yeah, it's okay, but it should be better.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get lost in that and you end up changing things. And sometimes I've changed things so far and then said, you know what, just go back to number 2.
100%.
Like, we'll be on number 7.
I've seen it happen. Yep.
Let's just go back to number 2 and then just do this.
Yeah.
And then we're done.
Which is part of how, it's the creative process. If anybody's right. creative here, you understand that that's a lot of the times what happens. You end up going so off kilter that you realize like the first one that you did was actually the best one.
Right. Or the second one. But, yeah. but like, I think it's like wedding dress shopping.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really have a lot of... Well, I haven't worn a wedding dress.
Go ahead, tell
lately.
Me.
Yeah.
Tell
me. So, but, right, you don't have any experience. But, like, I remember watching my wife go through this process, right? That's where I'm drawing, by the way. Nothing I do in my spare time. So, but she, you know, she tried on a dress, or, like, in the first one or two, you know, dress, what do they call them? Fittings, try-ons?
Yep.
I don't know.
Fittings.
And I remember her saying how she liked this dress. And then she went to a bunch of different stores, trying on all these different dresses. And ultimately, at the end of the day, she came back to the first session that she had.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit like that. Sometimes that happens. It doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
There are some wheels that just we'll have 14, 15 different versions as we progress. And it will be the last one that we take. Right. Like, that happens a lot.
And I think one of the things that we always take into consideration is reality. Like, let's just put that first, because sometimes people come up with these weird things, you know, just saying.
Yeah.
Then not only that functionality, we have to make sure that this wheel works great.
Yeah.
But then I think at the end of the day, styling is at the end. Our purpose is to have a safe wheel that you can drive, that you can put on your car, that works great, that does what it has to do. And yeah, of course, styling is always part of what we do, but our main purpose is to make sure that you have a solid wheel that'll go on your car and it works great.
Yeah. So now let's go into the granular part. So let's say that spot takes 3 months. Let's just say designing the wheel the way it will look takes about 3 months.
Yep.
Now we go into the technical part.
Yes. That's what
so now what we do is now we're like, okay, that's how it should look. Let's draw this size and this offset on a technical level. And what happens on a technical level is the first thing that happens is they're going to draw the design after we approve what it looks like. And the design team is essentially going to render it out as a 2D drawing, as a cross section. Mm-hmm. And they're also going to render it out as a 3D PDF. So we can move the wheel, turn the wheel, look at the wheel, do all those cool things. Also, we're going to start getting into things about, you know, really specifics, hub depths and
yep.
and clearances and stuff like that. So now we move on to this part. We get these 2D drawings back. We usually, I tend to start at some of the least aggressive stuff with the highest offset. Mm-hmm. Seems to be that's going to be the wheel that has the least amount of concavity, the least amount of PCD depth. So that's going to be, you know, your quote on worst case as far as, you know, all the cool things that everybody wants, all the movement, concavity, all that stuff. That's going to be the least amount, right?
Yep.
So you start there because if you can make that wheel look good, the rest of them look better.
100%.
Right. So what you do is you come into this area and now we're starting to put in things like, all right, which cars are we going to fit? So we usually sit down with a design and we'll look at it and we'll say, all right, well, which cars are we going to want to fit? Which cars are we going to want to target?
Yeah.
When we get this whole thing said and done, the next thing we do is we actually start to, we have those technical drawings
mm-hmm.
and we're going to start to lay calipers in.
Yeah.
Into the different size wheels. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look and we're going to say, does that really fit? Does that not fit? Does that have enough hub depth? Is that going to hit the cap? We're checking all the fitment specifications. So you've heard us say before about brake clearance and how concerned we are. And well, yeah, you can't make that wheel in too concave of a spoke profile because you're going to end up not having any caliper clearance. And that's where that whole idea comes from.
Yeah.
So what we're doing next is we're doing the technical fitments based off the specifications that we have developed too. It's a really important process. And sometimes that process can take months.
Yeah.
And it's not because you couldn't do it faster. It's because one, we're doing other things too.
Yeah.
But two, because when you start laying calipers in, you're also trying not to lose essence of the design.
Yes.
So we're trying to make a wheel as concave as possible, or we're trying to make it as dramatic as possible with a lip sizer, but also being able to clear and work on these different cars. Now, there are a lot of companies, especially in the last, I don't know, maybe six years, that have made their name on selling wheels that inherently don't fit cars.
That, yeah.
I don't want to sound that. I'm not saying that derogatory. There's a market for that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But we're not always going to be it. I'm not saying that we don't build anything that doesn't necessarily fit cars, but we design them to be able to work on race cars, or we've had feedback, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like a little hint, we're dropping an 18x12 this year.
Yeah.
And the 18x12 is not something that you're going to put on most cars. but there's a lot of race guys that have been running on our 18x11s and 18x10.5s that have requested the ability to jump up to 18x12. And like we've said with many other different things, when we see that there's a need for something in the market, we'll develop it. Mm-hmm. When there's a demand for something, we'll develop it. Mm-hmm. So that's really the deal. So we start there. We check the technical fitments. We make them as concave as possible. We get the lip as big as possible while still clearing all the fitments that we decide. Sometimes along the way, we'll decide, you know what? That fitment, don't even worry about it. Like, it's not worth killing the whole wheel to do it. But then there's other wheels where like, no, this really needs to be for this BMW and it really got to fit. So we got to make it be able to clear.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes that will make the spoke flatter for maybe some of the other wheels that will come.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. So then we get through the technical stage. Yep. Once we start to approve all the technical, like, yep, this drawing is perfect. This wheel looks good. This is where we're going to end up. Hub depths is good. Clearance is good. Caliper clearance is good. Like everything, all the specs are correct. We then will approve a mold or a drawing, which ends up turning into a forging or whatever it may be. Then the mold has to get produced. That's usually 30 to 45 days. Now, I missed a part here. When they're doing that drawing stage, there's another piece that they use, which is called FEM or FEA. A lot of people will hear FEA or FEM. Essentially, what it means is it's an analysis, a mechanical structure analysis of essentially all the physical tests that we'll do once the wheel is done, where we, you know, impact tests, lateral tests, bending tests, you know, run out tests, all these different tests and standards of J2530 that we produce to, you know, and a lot of times it's VIA or JWL, you know, VW, but also, you know, maybe we're doing something that's going to be TUV. And so when we're producing to these standards, we're running this FEM before we ever get to the point of making the wheel, because the computer is inherently so sophisticated. It can run tests and say, even if you exceed it by this percentage of elongation or torsional stress or whatever, this is what will happen. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we can look at all those details and decide, do we want to add some more material? Do we want to lighten it up? Do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? It's a give and a go. And we have to make those, and sometimes that process could take a little bit. But once that happens, then we go into the physical approvals. They make a mold, again, about 30 to 45 days. And right after that, the wheel is physically produced, and it goes to testing. And that's where the physical tests are done.
Yeah.
Essentially, we're repeating all the tests that were done via FEA or FEM.
Mm-hmm.
The tests are completely done over again. They're done physically to really see if they match up 100%.
Yep.
If for some reason there is a difference or something that negatively affects that, then the mold or whatever we're using, the drawing for the forgings or whatever it is, that will go back to R&D into the technical part, and we will amend the design, then amend the mold.
Yep.
Or the drawing, again, if it's on a forging, and we will reproduce the wheel and the test starts all over again.
Yep, yep.
So, like, that's the deal.
Yeah.
And then after that, essentially, once we're ready to roll, we tend to wait for most of our molds to be completed before we will develop any wheels of a new launch. But essentially, once that's done, then it goes into production, and, you know, eventually they'll be done, they'll be painted, they'll be finished, and they'll find their way to our building or to a retailer where they'll find your way to your door.
He forgot to mention one part, which is we end up having a huge debate about it, is after we also figure out, like, finishes
too. No, that's the worst part. You know, the worst thing, everybody can say what they want, but the worst thing about developing wheels is trying to pick the finish. You know why? Because it's like, imagine, like, you could pick any color in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, you always end up coming back to the same finishes.
And that's what I'm trying to, that's the reason why I brought it up, because everybody, like, okay, so you know that term where it's like the smallest, what is it? When the smallest person is the loudest in the room, what is that term? How does it go?
I don't know, but I thought what you did there was just fine.
But it's like, you know, there's always those people that message us like, why don't you do it in red? Why don't you do... But then the ones that are silent are the ones that are getting the black.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's like, so it's like, as much as we want to make, you know, and that's why luckily enough, we work at a company where we do get to do limited runs sometimes.
Yeah.
Majority of the time we pick the similar colors because that's what everybody really wants.
Why don't you make this metallic sky blue? Everybody wants metallic sky blue. Everybody, if you made it, would buy metallic sky blue for their Chrysler 300. It's like... And then, like, you know, the truth is we've gone that route before.
We
produced them in, like,
then it's just sell. That one guy.
But worst is then you check out that guy's Instagram, like, after you make exactly what he asked, and, like, you know, he's got some black holes on the car. So listen, the majority of people are going to tell you all the things that would be so cool if you did, but then they're not going to buy, they're going to buy something different.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately why you see so many black, bronze, gray wheels right now in the sphere.
Yeah. But hopefully down the line, we give you better options.
Yes. And you should start checking the website, because we're going to be starting to put up information where you can start seeing this stuff. We'll put out some videos and some different things. We will drop the wheel soon. We have samples here. The reason we haven't shown them yet is we're just trying to tighten up the time window from the time we show you guys to the time our dealers have information and to the time that you can actually place an order. We just didn't want to put you in a spot where you see something and then you really can't get it for a while. That's not what we try to do. So that's really the deal.
I think you covered literally everything, which was great.
That feels good.
I felt good about it.
So anyhow, if you have any questions, throw them down below. But also, if you have any suggestions for wheel colors, we'll take those as well.
Yeah.
You have any wheel names you want to throw out there?
Okay.
Never know. But that's pretty much it. You know, like wheel design and stuff like that. It can take anywhere from, you know, the better part of a year from 6 months to the better part of a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth. From the time it comes to market, you know, it could be definitely a whole year. We work on designs year round.
Yeah.
But, you know, you really start to feel the pressure at the end of the year if you're not the end of the year, but like right around that June time, you start to feel the pressure if you feel like you're not far enough along.
Yeah.
Because usually we drop wheels in November and then have them, you know, available for February, which clearly is not the case this year, and it wasn't the case last year. But it looks like we're going to be okay to be on pace for 23. So we will drop some new wheels here in the next, hopefully, couple weeks.
Yep.
We'll show you what they look like. Yep. Again, I believe that the early part of June in that area is going to be the window where you're going to start to see these wheels physically, but there'll probably be pre-orders available, right in that early May window.
Yep.
And then for 23, I think you're going to see wheels,
hopefully we're back in pace, you know?
Possibly at the SEMA show.
Well, you heard what's happening in China, right? Oh, jeez.
Listen, there's... There's a lot of pandemic stuff. The COVID thing in different parts of the world. And remember, even if wheels don't come from those parts of the world, there's something going on that will affect them. Russia is no different. It affected the global supply of aluminum. That's even if they didn't buy Russian aluminum. The people that did buy Russian aluminum, all of a sudden, now they have to buy only Dubal aluminum or whatever it may be. And next thing you know, Dubal doesn't have enough aluminum. Yep, there's a shortage. There's price increases. That's where we're going with this whole thing. So it doesn't matter where in the world something happens. We are a global economy. When one country is affected, the other one is too. So I don't care if anybody wants to start with if you made it here, or you did it here, or why'd you do it there? All that stuff doesn't matter anymore. We're a global economy. The sooner you can figure and accept that part, that there's maybe nothing you physically buy is from any other country, but then you find out that the person that you buy the stuff from, all their machinery is from Norway.
Yeah, 100%.
And Norway's sick.
100%. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, like, that's how it works. So anyhow,
I meant it just in a sense, like, you know, hopefully it doesn't travel more. But then again, they were bubbled. We weren't, you know, we're more vaccinated. So, you know, let's just hope that never happens again, what we went through the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, and we get back to smooth. But anyways, back to regular life. Listen, make sure to tune in here every Wednesday at 3 p.m. We'll go live, talk to you guys, talk about something, talk to someone. Also, tune in because we're going to be doing some wheel giveaways very soon. Make sure to tune in also to go on our Instagram where we go live at 2 p.m. And we answer any questions that you guys have. And if you ask us this question that we answered here, we're going to tell you to come to this video. So make sure you watch this one or subscribe to our YouTube channel.
That's fair. But listen, I would say this. Make sure you're following me on Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. There's really nothing involved.
Scott_Koenig. You can follow.
Okay. Anyhow, that's pretty much it. Have a good week. We will be back here next Wednesday where we'll do this whole podcast thing all over again.
Yes,
Take care of yourself.
Bye.